In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Come, Holy Spirit, come. Make this word a living word for us. Holy Spirit, open our hearts to the wonderful word of God. I'm looking at 1 Samuel 31. It's the death of Saul and his sons. Now, the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain on Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon Saul's sons. The Philistines slew Jonathan, that was David's friend, and Abner, and Malki, and Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him. He was hit with an arrow, and he was sore wounded by the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through, lest these uncircumcised people come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw it, that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all the men at the same day together. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley, that they were on the other side of the Jordan, saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of Philistines round about to publish it for the house among the people. So, I want to tell you now, David is anointed king over Judah, and he reigns from Hebron, and then he is anointed king over all of Israel. So we're going to look at 2 Samuel 6. This is a familiar passage. And David gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went with all the people that were with him to bring up from thence the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwells between the cherubim. That the presence of God was between the two angels that were above the Ark of the Covenant. And they set the Ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in Gibeah, according to the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and psalteries and timbrels, on coronets and upon cymbals. They're having a good time worshiping God as God is being brought into Jerusalem. And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him for his error. Where there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because of the Lord, and made a breach with Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah, even to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? See, why did God's power go through Uzzah? God wanted his ark of the covenant be carried by the priest, not by an oxen cart. And Uzzah touched it and he died. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of God come to me? How shall the ark of God come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Here we come with Obed-Edom. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. So what does that mean? By the blessing, Obed-Edom's wife becomes pregnant. Now David sees that Obed-Edom was blessed. He's going to get the ark and bring it to the city of David. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom, with the child, of course, and all that pertains unto him, because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with great gladness. And it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, David sacrificed oxen and fatlings, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with the linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord, shouting, and the sound of the trumpet, that's the ram's horn. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michael, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in the place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched. So we see that this ark of the Lord is the presence of God, and finally it is brought into the city of David. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of the offering, burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as the women as men. To everyone he gave a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh meat and the flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his own house. So we see that David brings the ark into the city of David, and we see what begins to happen. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michael, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids, and his servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself. And David said to his wife, it was before the Lord which chose me before your father Saul, before all of his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of God, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base of mine own sight, and of my handmaidens, which thou hast spoken of them, shall I have honor. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. So we see David dance before the Lord. Praise you, Lord. He was ecstatic that they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city of David. And we must remember that the only thing that's going to house this ark are going to be curtains. There is no temple made of human hands. The ark of the Lord is covered, surrounded by curtains. And what happens? God's covenant with David. And it came to pass when King David sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest around all his enemies, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, see, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within curtains, tents. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with thee. So what happens? David is feeling guilty that he dwells in a house of cedar, and God dwells in a, surrounded by curtains. So he's going to build the Lord a house, but you see, that's not going to happen, because Nathan is going to hear that that isn't what God wants. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, shall you build me a house to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but I have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle, and in all the places wherein I have walked with the children of Israel, spoke I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build me a house of cedar? Now therefore, what you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheep, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel, and I was with you wherever you went, and I have cut off all your enemies out of your sight, and I have made you a great name, like unto the name of great men that are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them that they may dwell in place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, I have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. In other words, the word of God from Nathan is that the house is going to be made through David's loins, that he's going to give him a family, and from the family will come the Messiah. In other words, don't do me any favors to build me a house. I didn't want a house. I never wanted a house. It's not my will that you build me a house. Why? Because David was a man of blood. He had killed so many people. So what happens? The Lord says, I'm going to build you a house. Oh yes, from your loins and your family will come the Messiah, from the house of David, and we see Jesus came from the house of David. When the days are fulfilled and you shall sleep with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, which shall proceed out of your bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, that I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. So who's going to build the house? David's son, and it's going to be Solomon. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, hallelujah, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. In other words, Saul lost the anointing. And what's God saying? The house of David will never lose the anointing. This is profound. This is profound. God establishes the house of David, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. In other words, David said, I'm going to build a house, and God spoke to Nathan and says, no house will I build, but only the house that comes from his loins. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord, that what is in my house that you have brought me? And this was yet a small thing in your sight, O Lord God, but you have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come, and it is this manner of man, O Lord. And what can David say more unto you? For you, O Lord, know my words, and according to your my own heart have you done all these great things to make thy servant known them. I want to tell you, when God promises to do something, he's going to do it. If God has given you a promise and you know it's of God, he will do it. He will do it to the crossing of every T and the dotting of every I. The promises of God are all true. God promised David that from his loins the Messiah would come. And so it happened. Jesus was born in the city of David, Bethlehem. That was the city of David. And we also see that David sits before the Ark of the Covenant, and there doesn't seem to be any place of the Holy of Holies separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies. David sits near the Ark, near the presence of God, and what does he do? He continues to sing to the Lord, and he plays on his harp, and he makes up psalms. That's where the psalms come from, you know. Wherefore, you are great, O Lord, for there is none like you, neither is there any God beside you, according to that which we have heard with our ears. And what one nation on the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself? Israel and the church supposedly are given to God for his inheritance. And I'm telling you, we need to know that the inheritance of God is Israel and the church. We need to know that God has promised to keep us safe if we continue to walk in his ways. And who is it that you would make a name and to do great things and terrible things in thy land before your people, which you redeemed today from Egypt and from the nations and from their gods? For you have confirmed to yourself your people Israel to be a people unto you forever, and you, Lord, are become their God. And now, O Lord, the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as you have said. And that's exactly what God does. When God speaks a word, he does it to the crossing of every T and the dotting of every I. And let your name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God of Israel. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed to your servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, you who are God, and your words are true, and you have promised the goodness unto your servant, therefore now let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever before you, for you, O Lord God, have spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of your servant be blessed forever. Again, when God says something, God does what he says. When God promises something, God does what he says. We're going to jump over to the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still in Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. From the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was the very beautiful woman to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? We're going to see David, and we're going to see sin working in David's life. But remember the thing, the point of God, that the blessing would never leave the house of David, that God would establish his house despite what David did. But you know what? David will be punished. David will be punished, and we will see that in a little while. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him and lay with her. for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent told conceived and sent and told David that I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. In other words, have relationship, relations with your wife, so that you'll think that this child is your child. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door. He will not go into the house, because he is fighting a battle for the king. And Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of the Lord, and went not down to his own house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, come thou not from your journey. Why then dost thou not go down to your own house? You see, sin weaves a web. David got Bathsheba pregnant. Now he wants Uriah to go into the house so that Uriah will think that this baby belongs to him. But Uriah will not go into the house. Uriah sleeps outside the house of David. And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and his servants to my lord are encamped in open fields. Shall I then go in my house to eat and to drink and to lie down with my wife? In other words, there's a big war going on. Why should I go have pleasure in my house? I'm a soldier, and I'm not going to have any pleasure to eat, to drink, and to be intimate with my wife. Why? Because a war is going on. I will not do this thing. David said to Uriah, tarry here today, also tomorrow. I will let you depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the next day. What does it all come to? We know what David's going to do if we know the story. David is going to put Uriah at the head of the army so that Uriah would be killed. And it's all about Bathsheba. David cried, have mercy upon me, O God, for I have sinned. He cried the 51st Psalm. This is very, very interesting that the best of men are men at best. And this experience of David with Bathsheba caused David to kill Uriah, because Uriah was a faithful soldier and would not go to his house and eat and drink and be intimate with his wife. Why? Because a war was growing on, and there was people fighting, and he wasn't going to go into his house and eat and drink and lie with his wife, because a war was going on, and he is a soldier. Let me tell you this again: when God speaks a word, he does it. The word of God does not return void. David will have the throne, and from David's loins would come Messiah Jesus. Jesus is of the house of David. And we know that it's all about God's promise. God has promised you things. God has promised you and me things. And we must depend upon the promise that what God says will come to pass. Let's ask the Lord to give what he has promised. We don't want anything that is not of God. We want only the promises of God that God had given us in our own hearts and in our own minds or in our own dreams. God has promised us things that we need to accept and believe that he's going to come about and come to give us all the things he promised, to the crossing of every T and the dotting of every I. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Are you going to the 40 days of life? Are you going to 1055 Commonwealth Avenue just to pray? Every Tuesday there's a rosary at 2 p.m. Are you going? Are you going? We need people out there so that they are praying for the children, that they will not be slaughtered. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.